In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And today is our foundation day. Today is our character enhancing day. 172nd year anniversary of the founding of this parish in 1848. This is our happy day. Always on this day, the church assigns of the gospel story for the dedication anniversary of the church. It is always the same story. Our Lord in the temple, angry, yelling, coming over the tables of the money changers, running out with the souls of the sacrificial animals, in anger, saying, "My house will be a house of prayer. You made it a den of robbers." But it's a wonderful story. He has everything to say. It's going to be sure. But what happens to me, twist and take, is the story that will bring this parish to a joyful end today. It's a perfect story for the celebration of the anniversary of this day. First of all, comment. Jesus loved the religion. He loved Judaism. He loved the temple. He loved the things of Judaism and the things of the temple. The only story we have of Jesus when he was a youth at the age of 12, remember? He was at this parish at the feast of Passover in Jerusalem, and he got separated. They lost him for 3 days. They finally found another temple. When they questioned him, he said, "Well, you don't know me." That I was in my father's house. He loved the temple, the things of the temple. And some of the things of the temple were the selling of animals for the sacrifices and for the money changers. And these were good and convenient things, acceptable things. In ancient Judaism, animal sacrifice was a part of the worship. They traveled and they made your pilgrimage to the temple from afar lands. It's not like you could bring your herd with you. So you would go for convenience to God, the animal. And there was provision for the poor, beautiful provision, making the day of the God. If you were poor and could not afford a large animal, you could substitute a pair of turtle doves for 2 pigeons. And you know, I was having the poor. Because in the Gospel of Luke, he was dedicated as a baby when his mother made life and purification 3 days after giving birth. We are told that our Lord's family offered the 2 pigeons of a pair of turtle doves. And so, the money changing is true. The money changing was a great convenience. Judaism said, in respect of the words of God, I am the word of God. You have no other gods but me. And yet, Jerusalem was occupied by the Romans. People were coming to Jerusalem from all over the world, the Greek speaking world, the Roman world. And the coinage that they were offering their temple pastoral offering had images of other deities, the emperor, which would not have been appropriate. So the money change would allow coinage to go. That would be befitting the temple. So why was Jesus angry? After all, he's rarely seen angry. We used to think that Jesus would get mild because that's what he usually was. Because I'm absolutely dumbfounded at the cross story. Jesus ended up being captured, killed, tortured, and humiliated and killed. And yet, there's no anger in Jesus. After being whipped and served and touched his breath and death, and Jesus was little energy he had left in love, giving his mother to the arms of John for the rest of her life, giving comfort to the feast out of his life, and today he was in paradise, and at last, with his last breath, saying, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." The day before, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was betrayed by his good friend, disciple Judas. He denied him, kissing him, and betraying him. We would have had feelings of anger for sure, and then Jesus would have. Peter raised his sword. Only had Jesus experienced and lift on the sword with God. So we never see our Lord express great anger. No, anger is an emotion like love, and sorrow, and passion. It is definitely God. It's only when we misdirect and misuse it that sometimes becomes there. But we see our Lord anger only one time, or at least several times, but only at one occasion. And that is when the powerful of the earth and authority are seen in particular advantage of those who have no authority, no power, nothing. The poor, the destitute, the those who can least afford it are being cheated. And that's what he called in the money thing in the song. They were lining their pockets with greed and grass. And our Lord, there's this anger of us. And turn over the table, and you will not make it again of thieves. And keep in mind, he paid for this. This greatest event of his anger, wonder before he died, was the nail that went into his cross. It sealed his fate. That the body determined from that point on that they were in Jesus. But as he said to the one who had no name, no life, no money, I stand with you. And those who stand with me shall stand with you. And then only to Matthew, isn't it? Beautiful phrase, and only Matthew offered it in the verse. Then he says, he turns and he heals the blind and the lame. And last but not least, no rest when he turned on the table. So who was the blind and the lame? The tax payer. The blind and the lame, the ancient law was a tax payer, the woman was made to differ. Born without a left limb, without sight, without hearing, in some way disfigured. A unit, any one that is marginalized to be placed in the place of left, the blind and the lame. And the horrific thing in the ancient world, a thousand years before the scientific age, is that the temples of superstition were examined so deeply in religion. Many believed in the day of Jesus that if you were blind or lame, you were made differently in any way. That somehow it was a curse of God, somehow it was the anger of God. You deserve something, but some of you something that you deserve. And if you deserve it, because it's the will of God, then who am I that any responsibility to relieve your pain? So blind or lame, those who are marginalized, had it worse than worse. They had no respect, no money, no honor. Not even begging could suffice. So many were just gone out of hunger. And Jesus is saying today, I stand with them. They matter to me. They are lost in the heart of God. I tell them for. What upon a time were they king? The king was the king of a great land, and he wanted to conquer a city where none of his inhabitants lived, to prove his power to his people. To make the city great and glorious power. He found such a city, a fortress city, high on a high elevation, a beautiful city. The problem was, because it was on such a high elevation, it was very easy to defend. No one could overtake it. So easy that the leader of that city placed the blind in the land to guard the city. But the king thought, I know a better way. Every city needs water. How do I go out of it? I want to take the city then. And he did. He never took the city. The blind and the lame who are guarding the city, they don't have no place in my city. But it happens that the city was sacrificed. The king was King David. The city was still Jerusalem. The place often where the blind and the lame were very least accepted as the temple. They could not be free. They could not have places of power. But everywhere else they were occupied to the outer land. Of the temple. And Jesus, so when he healed the blind and the lame today, that was a forceful thing. And that was not overlooked by the Father, just the dramatic turning of the table, because he said, I stand with them, they matter to the heart of God, and if I manage you as the Messiah, they will manage me. He will stand with me. So he said, there's no better tool to describe this character and promise of the story of Jesus in the temple. Because from the very beginning, our worship has been based on Jesus Christ, the very presence and Jesus, not as it were, not our knowledge, not our beauty, but Jesus Christ and Jesus. And from the worship of Jesus Christ, yes, then, our good work and our kindness and our beauty and our wealth. From the very beginning, worshiping Jesus, it was said that Jesus built and redeemed who you stand for, who was I stand. For those who have no name, no honor, no life, right next to the basement of that record, served as a stop in underground levels, African Americans who had no love, who had no understanding of them, who had no advocate, From the Civil War, from the aftermath of the blaming people of our Native immigrants, who themselves had been drafted and slaughtered, and they misdirected their anger at the Black people, he's been to the war. And they gathered here. They were found by the mob. And here, the priests and the people said, "We stand with Jesus, and Jesus stands with you." And they stood bravely to save the lives of those who were sanctuaries in this church. Many of their theaters, maybe in the late 19th century, were not receiving the ministrations of the churches from around the city because they were considered an immoral profession. The bishop says, "We went to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ, you have us this Christ, and we stand the death of the standard of you that you have not forgotten." The same that we marry more people in any church in the United States, because so many people were denied marriage for reasons that were unfounded. I told him another story. My first week becoming a rector, a box came in the mail. And the box was from an actress, from a letter. A man who was married here December 25th, Christmas Day, 1943. He was married here with no church in small town in his state, Florida. He was married because he was prideful and his wife was poor. This church was we were for Jesus Christ, we matter to Christ, and we stand in Jesus Christ. We married him, and he never forgot it. When he died, he left in the world, he wanted his name to be here, and that wall, like him. And so what will be? What will be next? It doesn't matter. As long as we're faithful to Jesus Christ and stand with him, it might not be famous. Famous does not equate success. We are called, before we are called to be successful or famous, we're called to be faithful. It might mean that the steps to come out of Christ then. Recognized by no one in the papers, by no one on the street. But we will be faithful to stand and worship Jesus Christ and say, "Who does he love? Who matters to the heart of Christ?" Because whoever that is, we say. So let us combine more and more and appreciate the beautiful story of Jesus in the country, that it embodies who we are as a people. Amen.